Coming up on show 729, why batteries are crucial to the EV maritime industry. Interesting, right? Stick around, I'll tell you more. Plus, we're talking about the Mercedes-Benz EQV. I'm excited about an all-electric van. Nissan and Uber do a deal around the Leaf. The Nissan Z goes all-electric. A plug-in Ford. But which one? And turning classic cars into electric vehicles. Okay, we'll talk about those stories and many more on the show today. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to the show, EV News Daily, for what happened on Thursday, 26th of March. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story, so you don't have to. I'm guessing a few weeks ago, I might have been the soundtrack to your commute. Many people told me they listened to the podcast while commuting. Morning, afternoon, in the car, headphones on, whatever. I'm guessing you might not be listening that way, because many people's daily routine has been turned upside down. Hope the podcast still works for you. Maybe, hopefully, the amount of stories, the length, being audio only. I mean, I'm effectively sitting in this little home office of mine a lot more than I was before. I used to do a fair bit of travelling, actually, up to London 3 days a week and actually going around doing interviews and Saturday specials and absolutely not. You know, I've got parents in their 70s. Absolutely, I'm seeing nobody. And a little fella as well, a new addition to the house last year. There is no way I want to go and catch something and spread it and pass it on. Staying home completely. But more than most, actually, I imagine. So I just got like more time sat in this chair for many, many hours a day. So is there more that I can do with the podcast? Is it working okay? Maybe I should do more on YouTube, more video stuff, and maybe for the patrons, actually. Maybe do more video for the Patreon supporters or something. Just say hello and how are you? Let me know what I can do. Socials, email, my address is hello@evnewsdaily.com. Stay in touch. All right, let's move on. I want to get to the news after that long preamble today. Stories of EV hope. We all need good news. And so I'm hunting for good news at the moment to bring you on the podcast. I follow an account on Twitter called Group Renault. As you can imagine, it's the corporate account of them. In Denmark, they say, our partner offers healthcare professionals free use of Renault Zoe cars for their daily trips from home to the hospital. They've made over 400 vehicles available on loan in Copenhagen to healthcare workers. A huge hand clap to Renault and Green Mobility. And another tweet from the official MG Motor account that says, to support and say thank you for the amazing job being done by the NHS to keep us all safe, MG are proud to announce that we are supplying 100 MG ZSEVs to NHS agencies across the UK for use by NHS heroes so they can travel to work safely with low running costs. Hashtag NHS thank you. Well done, MG. 100 vehicles is not insignificant and not in the tweet, but I gather afterwards, there'll be sixth-month loans. Not sure whether it's to the local trust or the local area or to individuals, but either way, everyone's pulling together. And there are stories of hope out there. You just have to open your eyes to them because bad news sells. And these days, bad news gets clicks, and most businesses are based around getting clicks, and the worse news, the better. As you know, I don't run advertising. And we do rely on the generosity of our supporters and patrons to make the show happen. And therefore, I can just bring you good news. Let's talk about a car, nay, a van, that I am really excited about because it fills a segment that is not the biggest selling, you know, compared to crossovers and SUVs. Not the biggest selling, but really, really important because of the amount of people that will experience it. I'm talking taxis. I'm talking airport shuttles. Just talking like big families taking friends and family to football on a Saturday morning. Vans, the quicker they can go electric, the more people will ride than EVs. Mercedes-Benz has been subjecting the EQV to endurance testing in Sweden. The electric V-Class proved its operational capability, they say, under extreme conditions, down to minus 30 degrees C. Icy roads, deep snow. Chris at Electrive has the full rundown on this. According to Mercedes-Benz, it means the battery electric large capacity van has cleared one of its last hurdles on its way to a market launch, and it will be in the second half of this year. The EQV is the second model of the Mercedes-Benz technology brand EQ after EQC. And unlike the eVito and the eSprinter, it's very much aimed at marketing it towards those kind of private customers. Well, the six-seater van is available in two wheelbases, either 3.2 or 3.43 metres, and a gross vehicle weight of 3,500 kg. And by installing individual seats or benches, you can carry up to 8 people. With a gross capacity of 100 kilowatt hours, that's a big battery. 100 kilowatt hour gross battery on this. It's huge. 90 kilowatt hour usable, mind you. And the onboard charger is a three-phase AC charger. That's up to 11 kilowatts, not 22 like the Zoe. But Mercedes says the DC charging also goes up to 110 kilowatts. What is not to love about this? Okay, probably the price when it arrives. But look, it carries 8 people. It's a Mercedes-Benz van, so it's got some luxury to it as well. It's got a big old battery pack underneath. 90 kilowatt hours usable from the 100 gross. It charges quick on AC at 11. It charges 110 on DC. It's going to be so popular with a particular segment. Like I say, they won't sell the most of them, but a lot of people are going to ride in one of these. And you know what? They'll notice the comfort, the silence, the smoothness of an EV, and then they'll buy one. Because everyone does when you experience an EV. You know, like, okay, all right, I get it, I'll buy one. Let's move on. Nissan and Uber have signed an agreement to go green with a fleet of all-electric Leafs to be made available for Uber drivers in London. This was a rumour a little while ago that I reported on the podcast, and I'm glad that I've finally got some more details to bring you. Mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, I think. Part of a new deal between Nissan and Uber, says the website thedriven.io. 45,000 drivers in London use Uber. On the app, they drive for Uber. Maybe I meant to say they drive for themselves. Isn't this the gig economy or something? Anyway, they don't work for Uber, apparently, or something. The deal between Nissan and Uber forms another step in Uber's goal to reach 100% electric vehicles for their drivers from 2025. The agreement comes after Nissan made 20 Leafs available for a trial for hire through the company's rideshare app in London. And yes, I do have to make reference to the fact that Uber have had their license to operate in London not renewed, for which they appealed, and that appeal process is on. They can operate under appeal. And yes, it makes a nice headline that all our cars, if they Uber say, will be pure electric by 2025. Whether they achieve it or not, it's certainly... News like this plays a big part in the PR campaign war that is going on, because Uber will not want to lose the license. Well, they haven't had it renewed. They don't have a license to operate in London, but they are operating under appeal, as far as I understand. And you can still get an Uber, obviously. And whether they win or lose, there's going to be a lot more of this kind of stuff. And you know what? I get the side of London cabbies. I understand the dislike for minicab drivers. I understand what 20-somethings in London say, which is, look, I can't afford to get a black cab and Uber's cheaper, and I understand all of the sides of the argument. But if I, you know, if I do make comment, it would be that if this is what Uber has to do to retain their license, in other words, go all electric, well, you know, selfishly and my vested interests of wanting to see clean green transport, well, you know, it's kind of a good idea. Let's move on. Nissan, we'll stay with them. Making an all-electric Nissan Z. When a manufacturer starts to test a prototype on the Nürburgring, you know what they mean, business, means the car is on its way to production as well. Last year, they started testing the camouflaged Z sports car on the Nürburgring, so a new Z's on the way. It says Forbes, in 2025, Nissan will launch an all-new e-powered Z. And if you haven't heard recent podcasts, I've been talking a lot about Nissan e-power. It's not my favourite technology. It's a form of hybrid system where there's no plug on the car, so I don't really like it for that reason. There's no plug socket, but you have to fill it. The only way to power it is to put fossils in it. But then the engine works as a generator, which powers a battery, and then the battery powers an electric motor, and the motor drives the wheels. Okay, so that's e-power, and that's it does good business in Japan with things like the Nissan Note, which, with respect, is a pretty dull car. But putting this technology in the sports car of the Nissan Z, albeit in 5 years' time, does signal intent. But yes, I am aware of what I just said. In 5 years' time. A lot can happen In 1 year in the world of EVs, fast forward 5 years, you know, my cynical side does start to prick up then. Let's talk about food. You can tell what's on my mind. Shall we start that again? Let's talk about Ford, the Ford Kuga plug-in hybrid. The latest Ford Kuga is available now with the plug-in hybrid engine for the very first time, says an all-electric magazine in the UK called Driving Electric, kind of new and all about, you know, as you can imagine, electric cars, powered by a 2.5-litre petrol engine, which is big, right? Not that efficient. A 2.5-litre. I'd like to see this with one of their small little EcoBoost engines, maybe, or something that's certainly more efficient. But anyway, 2.5-litre petrol and an electric motor, but quite a big battery for a plug-in hybrid, 14.4 kilowatt hours. You'll do about 35 miles on electric power alone. And if you want to get your running costs down, I guess that's one way that you could do that, by running on pure electric power for most of your commute. If you can do that in 35 miles, I'll put a link to Driving Electric in the show notes. As more and more people warm up to the idea of converting cherished classic cars to run on pure electric power, new firms are springing up to offer the service. And in some cases, that service is being offered by the automakers that originally built the classics. According to Motor Authority, one that's emerged from the UK is called Lunas. The company is based at Silverstone at the circuit, and they offer a service where the original vehicle gets stripped down to its bare chassis, gets restored and renewed, and a new powertrain is installed. But it's not cheap, and they're not doing your average old classic car. They're doing a Rolls-Royce Phantom from 1961. They're doing a Rolls-Royce Cloud from 56, a 61 Bentley Continental Flying Spur S3. Yeah, these are going to be mega cars with pure electric battery-powered powertrains. But the cars also cost £350,000. That's about $415,000. They are a plaything for the rich. I'll give them that. But it's a cool story to bring you. Well, moving on. And let's talk about the headline story on today's podcast. And that is why batteries from electric cars are going to end up getting everywhere. And they have to end up in the maritime sector. In 2020 this year, vessel owners are dealing with an emissions control world for the very first time, as an unprecedented step change to not CO2, because cars and emissions with road cars, all about CO2 lately. That's the thing you'll hear. No, we are talking about the sulfur content, which is currently allowed in marine fuels and being enforced, and it's falling. The amount they're allowed to use of sulfur is falling from 3.5% to 0.5% by fuel mass. And that's globally, right? In shipping, emissions of really, like, mega, mega harmful sulfur oxides, or SOx, SOx, if you hear it called that, and nitrous oxides, that's what we would call NOx. They make a very large contribution to their respective global emissions by burning incredibly cheap, very, very dirty, heavy fuel. You'll hear it called bunker fuel or heavy fuel oil. And here's a stat which I read it again. I wondered if it was a typo, but this, according to the story today on Yahoo, the 15 biggest ships on planet Earth, the 15 biggest ships that we've built as a civilization emit more NOx and SOx than every single car in the world. Okay, so maybe sulfur oxides and nitrous oxides, not a big deal for cars, right? Because they're using top of the food chain petrol. Okay, so by the time that oil gets refined down to what ships run on, it's nasty stuff. But still, that's a hell of a stat, right? Well, this report on Yahoo Finance today also says that the ID TechX experts expect that this shortage of traditional solutions to how to clean up shipping. There's not one magic bullet. There's nothing out there that is immediately going to clean up shipping and help them hit their emissions targets. That is going to spur on the uptake of batteries in the largest ships to meet really stringent new emissions regulations. Well, leisure boats could be some of the ones that go to battery power. They're the cars of the marine world, personally owned, small enough to make the jump to pure electric with the technology out there today. It's being done today. Similarly, think about ferries. Ferries often go from fixed point to fixed point, and they can go pure electric because with a well-planned route, you can opportunity charge, and you know exactly how much according to the weather conditions, and the forecasting is very good, how strong the wind is going to be, what are we going to, how much energy are we going to use to cross that particular body of water, and that's how much you have to charge up the ship. So it makes a lot of sense. Coastal vessels, tugboats, they can hybridise easily with batteries comparable in size to the car we just talked about. If you like, 100 kilowatt hours, the battery they're putting in a Mercedes-Benz van, you can put in a tugboat and save hundreds of thousands of dollars by reducing the fuel consumption over the course of a year so that that battery power is used when it's needed the most. It's a fascinating thing to talk about. We talk about cars nearly all the time on this podcast, and by no means are we going to become all of a sudden overnight a shipping show, but batteries and EV technology is going to end up everywhere. It has to, because oil's going to run out. Well, let's move on and let's talk about some of the challenges facing the battery industry. And again, another subject that is really interesting and doesn't really get talked about in many places. The electric vehicle industry faces a long-term lithium-ion battery bottleneck, particularly for the highest quality of cells, says the experts at Benchmark Mineral Intelligence. Well, new data from Benchmark shows that while forecast demand for lithium-ion batteries only begins to exceed capacity in 2029, what they have deemed Tier 1, it's their own terminology, I believe they've added to this, Tier 1 cells are going to be in the shortest supply throughout the period over the next 10 years, especially as we enter the second half of this year and early next year. It's an issue that's already been faced by European OEMs in the last 6 months. The industry is going to be looking to lower down the Tier 2 cell manufacturers to step up to the mark and meet the burgeoning demands of the EV industry. But this is not as straightforward, they say, as it sounds. Not only do these Tier 2 manufacturers need to qualify with major manufacturers, that's a lengthy and a high specification process. They're also going to need to ensure they can grow their capacity at an increasingly rapid rate without compromising quality, because EV makers only want the best of the best batteries. Yes, there is such a thing as a grading of batteries. And what is in your car? The reason why batteries in the original EVs that have been on the roads for 5, 7, 8, 10 years now are still going strong is because the EVs batteries are just really well looked after, normally with thermal management, normally good quality batteries as well, and still going strong with minimal degradation. Okay, final story today, and how will you be driving your next EV? I mean, how will you be acquiring it? People are going to keep buying and leasing vehicles, at least in the short to midterm, but subscription services are going to find a place, predicts a chap called Vince Zappa. He's the president of Clutch Technologies. It's a company owned by Cox Automotive, and they offer a digital platform to dealers and automakers to run vehicle subscription initiatives, and many of them are very quickly evolving, says Ward's Auto. A one-vehicle subscription service that is very clear, they only have one brand of vehicle, might appeal to customers who want to get the feel of an electric vehicle, but aren't ready to buy an EV yet, he says, adding that short-term propositions could aid automakers who want to introduce EVs at faster rates. See, subscription services are all about somebody having a car for a month, 3 months, maybe a six-month period, but swapping them out and chopping and changing and paying a flat monthly fee. And normally that's all in. And in the case of Volvo's scheme that they're trying, that includes insurance as well. It's literally one fee, and you can change the car, in some cases, pretty regularly as well. Maybe not like every day, but you really can chop and change your cars according to whatever is in the fleet. Well, this is a startup company we're talking about, Clutch here, who are offering subscriptions exclusively for battery electric and also and plug-in hybrid cars as well. It allows the participants in the scheme to swap vehicles monthly, and 16 models of EV and plug-in are currently in the fleet at Clutch Technologies, and they think that's going to be a way in the future that many people will experience an EV. And you know what we always say, once you've experienced an EV, you absolutely want to go out and buy one of your own. Another good day of news. I know we're struggling with good news, but that's another good podcast of some positivity. I feel good after today's show. Hopefully you enjoy the good news as well. And I'm asking you question of the week this week. How can the EV community all come together at this time to support each other? Is there something that we can do that reflects the first two stories that I talked about, with Renault making Zoes available to healthcare professionals and MG making their EV available to the National Health Service? What else can the EV community do to support each other at this time of crisis? Let me know. You can email me, hello@evnewsdaily.com. I'll read out yours on Sunday on the show. Well, thank you so much to 242 patrons of the podcast. You keep me going. You can check out for yourself what it's all about. Patreon is patreon.com/evnewsdaily. No pressure. I'll do the show either ways, but for what is effectively a couple of posh coffees once a month for $10 a month that, let's face it, you're not having because you're not going past the coffee shops anymore, you can support the work that we do on the show to spread the word about our new, clean, green, exciting future. Patreon is a place that you can support all sorts of creators if you're not aware, by the way. Premium partners of the show are Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Avid Technology, Bright Smith for Clean Tech Talent, Porsche of The Village Cincinnati, and Audi Cincinnati East. If you want to check out any of the previous 728 shows, they're all in the archive. Check out the blog, evnewsdaily.com. Have a bloomin' wonderful day, if you possibly can. I'll catch you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.